In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. About 400 years ago, there lived a wonderful Spanish artist named Francisco Zurbarán. Now, I sometimes think he must have been very personally very holy, because you can always see the presence of God in his paintings. Not just the subject matter, sure he did monks and nuns and saints and scenes from the life of Christ and the Virgin Mary, and sure he was commissioned by orders and bishops and cardinals to paint beautiful paintings, but there was always something in the eyes and sometimes in the mouth of his characters that tell you that they seem to be looking at God, and that maybe God is looking at them. Now, you can't see God. There's no little corner. There's God coming out of a cloud or anything like that. But he is as present in those paintings as if you could see him, because it looks like the characters in the paintings see him. I love Zurbarán, and I bet he's in heaven. Now, one of the beautiful paintings that he did, it was for a monastery, I think it was in South America, was a large painting of two saints, two monks. Now, the priest on the left, I think it was on the left, if I remember correctly, I know he was dressed in black and white, in the black and white robes of a Dominican. While the one on the right is in the brown robes of a Franciscan. And they're standing looking at each other in the painting in a large old-fashioned room, and the Franciscan priest seems to be drawing back a curtain from what seems to be a box, or a little kind of a middle room, between the two of them. And behind the curtain, which he's drawing back and in the box, is a crucifix. Well, it turns out that the Dominican in the painting is supposed to be St. Thomas Aquinas, and the Franciscan is St. Bonaventure. Both of them were absolutely brilliant scholars, and theologians, and teachers, and writers. They wrote and they taught, they prayed and they preached. And the two of them were famous for their studies as well as their holiness for a long, long time, even now. And these two, you could say, were saints from the age of faith, the 13th century, which was an era as full of faith as ours is empty of it. But the point of the painting comes from the title. Saint Bonaventure revealing to Saint Thomas Aquinas the source of his learning. As you remember, he's pulling this curtain back, and there's the crucifix. And that's the source of St. Bonaventure's learning, and he's showing that to St. Thomas Aquinas. And I suspect it was commissioned by the Franciscans in order to get a few little needles at the Dominicans, because they wanted to show that the Franciscan Bonaventure was smarter than the Dominican Thomas, because Bonaventure's theology and writings all came from and led back to Jesus and his crucifixion. And they're saying, you know, this Thomas, he used a lot of Greek philosophers. So all in all, it's a little unfair to Thomas to imply that the source of his theology was pagan, because he loved our Lord as much as St. Bonaventure. But what the picture is saying, and accurately, is that everything in this world, not just the Dominicans, not just the Franciscans, but everything in this world revolves around God's great act of love, his allowing himself to be crucified for our sins. The whole universe, in all of its elements, in all of its science, in all of its history, it only makes sense as a reflection of the cross of Christ. In fact, I think we really have to interpret everything in our world and in our lives in the belief, and in the true belief, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to take on human flesh, to live 33 years, and then allow himself to be abused, derided, and shamed, and vilified, and then placed on a cross to die for our sins, to take our punishment upon himself. And the whole universe has to be understood in terms of that. You see, the problem is that an atheist would ignore the cross. The atheist would ignore God. And then the atheist would ask, why should this God of yours care about any of us, or all of us for that matter, any more than we humans care for ants? if this God of yours is this huge supreme being who made this unthinkably huge universe, how is it that he even thinks about us, let alone love us individually, let alone take our guff and endure the rebellion of our sins and offenses against him and then suffer in himself so that we could be saved? Who among us would even care what happens in a colony of ants? And yet you Catholics believe that God is someone who cares for us, enough even to die for us. Half of the time we don't even like each other when we say God loves us and wants us to be with him in heaven. And when you think about it, it is a little unlikely. And God makes so many efforts on our behalf. You really do wonder, in the face of all of our sins and rejections, why should he even bother? Why doesn't God just ignore us and let us go our silly ways and be like the ants, busy about everything but really busy about nothing? That's the question. Why does God bother? But maybe in that question we find the answer. If there is nothing in it for God, for him to do all of this for us, then it's obvious that he makes all of these efforts, creation, vocation, incarnation, redemption on the cross, resurrection. He does these things not for something he gets out of it, but out of pure love. Selfless love, generous love, infinite love, without beginning, without end, without limits. And that is the nature of love. And that explains why he created us and wants to keep us in being and bring us to be with him. Not that he gets something from us, but that he is happy to give us something, his existence, and to share his being. He does all of this because he loves us. And he loves us because we share his nature. And that's the key. We are like God. We're not nameless, numberless ants in an anthill. We are persons who, like God, can think and reason and figure things out. We can make acts of the will and decisions and choices. We can say yes and we can say no. We can choose to love and we can choose to hate. We can be good and virtuous, we can be bad and sinful. And because we are like him, in that sense, he has a stake in us. And he has a stake in our survival and in our well-being. He has made us like himself so that his life would be shared and experienced by creatures like himself. And because we are like him, then he loves us for that. And therefore God wants us to be happy and whole and holy as he is happy, whole and holy. He loves us because he sees himself in us. We're like an extension of God. He loves us not for what we do, because we don't do that very much and not very well. But he loves us for who we are, sharers in his very existence. God's love for us is pretty much like human love. I suppose you could say that human love is like God's love, because he was, of course, first. But how often do people say to the one they love, "Why do you love me? I'm not as smart as the others. I'm not as beautiful as the others. I'm not as..." Sometimes they do things to bother you and offend you. "Why do you love me?" Well, the answer is that when we love, we see ourselves dwelling within the soul of the one who is loved. When we love someone, we want them to have life and life to the full and nothing less. And we will sacrifice ourselves for that. And that is why God always forgives, he always overlooks, he always disregards our sins, because he sees himself in us and he is moved with pity and compassion for that reason. That's the difference between God and humanity and the ants and us. We're not related to the ants. We are related to God. And he wants to spare us any more sufferings than we have already brought upon ourselves, even if he must suffer for our sake. That's what's going on in the cross of Christ. It's not just about some guy who died at the hands of the Romans. The cross, upon which we meditate all through Lent, is truly the key to understanding the whole universe. It's the key to understanding our place in the universe and how we relate to God. The cross is the key, because it tells us why God made us and why he redeemed us and how we are to respond, and it's all about love. Now, maybe in the painting, Bonaventure is supposed to be explaining it all to Thomas Aquinas as if Thomas would be surprised at hearing that it's all about love, but I suspect Thomas knew that too. Because even if the Franciscans were teasing the Dominicans, Thomas was just as smart and just as holy as Bonaventure, because they both loved the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.